Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Wilmette, Illinois, and earned a bachelor's degree in fine art, philosophy, and English from Siena Heights College, and a doctorate in clinical psychology from the University of Detroit. From 2004 to 2010, she was the prioress of the Adrian Dominican Congregation, and since 2015, she's been the president and CEO of Catholic Charities USA and is the first female to serve in these roles in its 108-year history. Her name, Sister Donna Markham. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the president and CEO of Catholic Charities USA, Sister Donna Markham, the first female to serve in this role in its 108-year history. Sister, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Oh, thanks so much, Jack. It's good to be with you.
Can you start by leading us in an opening prayer tonight?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Compassionate God, you are our comfort and strength in times of sudden disaster, crisis, or chaos, as well as you are with us in times of great joy. Surround us now with your grace and peace. By your Spirit, lift up those who have fallen, sustain those who work to rescue or rebuild, and fill us with the hope of your new creation. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Sister, you grew up in the suburbs of Illinois, and you've been the president of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious. You've been the president of Behavioral Health Institute for Mercy Health. You've been the prioress of Adrian Dominican Congregation. And since 2015, you've been the president and CEO of the fifth largest charity in America. What were you like as a little girl?
Well, probably what would be surprising to you, Jack, is that as a child, I was very studious, but I was also extremely shy, and I was grateful that because of my education, being trained by the Adrian Dominicans in high school, that a lot of that shyness was abated, and I began to grow out of that, but initially quite an introverted, serious child.
Well, you've come out of your shell, Sister, that's for sure. How was it you decided to become a nun?
Well, As I mentioned, I was educated by the Adrian Dominicans, and it was also, and I went from high school to the University of Toronto. It was a time of great unrest with the Vietnam War raging and a lot of social unrest, and I remember being with a lot of students there who were very concerned about what was happening in the world and what we were going to do when we grew up and how we were going to address some of these crises as young people. And I began to think about religious life. I also began to think about the Peace Corps. And truth be told, I thought, I'll enter the Dominicans first, and then if I hate it, then I can always leave, and then I'll go to the Peace Corps. Well, the Peace Corps never happened. I loved the Adrian Dominicans and found that as Dominicans, I was joining a group that was absolutely passionate about dealing with the, I would say, quote, the heresies of the day. We were founded in the Middle Ages to do that, and that the challenges and heresies of contemporary times were different, but nonetheless very daunting. And so I found myself with a group of extraordinary people who were deeply and profoundly dedicated to making a difference in our world, and especially being sensitive to the injustices of our time.
We're talking to Sister Donna Markham, and from 2004 to 2010, she was the prioress of the Adrian Dominican Congregation. As such, she ran it. So, from 1992 to 93, you were president of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious. Talk about that chapter in your life.
Yeah, I was on the general council of the congregation at the time, and I was nominated by the leadership conference for the presidency, and I was very surprised to be elected because I was not, at that time, I was not the prioress of the congregation. I was a general council member. And I was elected to represent, at the time, 90,000 women religious in the church and civic arenas. And that meant traveling to Rome to meet with the various Vatican offices that worked with religious across the world, and taking a public position representing sisters. And it was, again, a time, I think, of there was a lot of vibrancy in religious life. It was a very exciting time to be in a public role like that, and at the same time quite humbling, as I was relatively, I was very surprised that I had been elected as a council member and not as head of the order to be president of the leadership conference.
You said you represented 90,000 women religious, and one of them was a little 4'11" nun in Calcutta, India, named Mother Teresa. Did you ever meet her, sister?
Well,
and what's the biggest thing you learned from
her? Women religious were in the United States, so Mother Teresa was in India. No, I did not have the privilege of meeting her. I know that some of my sisters, my Adrian Dominican sisters, did meet her. But no, I did not have that chance.
What's the biggest thing you admire about Mother Teresa?
Well, I think she's an icon in the sense that she embodies what and was a very strong sign of God's tender care for those who are the most downtrodden. And I would say that she represents not only herself in her own dedication and goodness, but she also served as a real icon for many unsung heroes, women heroes in religious life who walk in streets of poverty and areas, pockets of dire need. And so in that regard, I was very struck by her, and I had the privilege when she was canonized to represent President Obama at the canonization, and it was a beautiful event and quite moving, and all the more so too to be representing our country at that event in Rome.
A young girl from Wilmette, Illinois. We're talking to Sister Donna Markham. And from 2012 to 2015, she was president of Behavioral Health Institute for Mercy Health. And I'm Jack Crisula. And this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula. We're with Sister Donna Markham. Sister, in 2015, you become the first female in the 108-year history of Catholic Charities of USA to be selected its president and CEO. How did that ever happen?
Well, that's another one of those mysteries, Jack. I was very engaged in a major project with Mercy Health in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I was working to effect a turnaround of the behavioral health service line and the delivery of care to very seriously and persistently mentally ill across seven geographic regions of the system. And then I got a telephone call from the Board of Trustees of Catholic Charities USA asking me to consider being part of the slate for the next president and CEO of Catholic Charities USA. And at the time, I said I was very honored to receive their call, but I also was up to my ears in this major turnaround project, and that it would be very irresponsible of me to walk out in the middle of that. And I suggested that they engage a search firm and do the national search that a position like that warranted. And quite honestly, I fully expected that they would find the next member of the clergy to lead it, because that had been the history primarily of Catholic Charities USA. So I went back to my work and continued the process I was engaged in. And lo and behold, 6 months later, I got a call back, and they said, well, we really want you to consider this, and we want to talk to you. So I went to the CEO of Mercy Health and shared with him what the situation was. And to his credit, he said, you know, I get this whole issue of call, but I'm going to pray that they don't want you, because I want you to stay here. But he said, but I get the issue of call, Donna, so don't, you know, just know I get that. And so I thanked him a lot for that. And then I, as time has told, now I was selected to be the president and CEO of Catholic Charities, and had to do a little bit of quick work with the health system to get it positioned to continue the work I had started there.
We're talking to Sister Donna Markham. If you want to learn more, www.CatholicCharitiesIESUSA.org. Sister, the story of the Good Samaritan,
yes,
we all know about it. How does that translate into your mission today?
Well, I think that, you know, that parable was actually the grounding scriptural passage for the Second Vatican Council. I didn't know that till way later. But for Catholic Charities, as we engaged in our planning process as a network of Catholic Charities across the United States, we went to the parable of the Good Samaritan because we can all identify either with the person that was beat up lying by the side of the road half dead. We might identify with the innkeeper who took in the person who is desperately in need. We may identify sometimes with the robbers, or perhaps with the people that walk to the other side of the road. And sometimes we may identify with the Good Samaritan himself. So for us, it's a parable that keeps us grounded in the reality of who we are as human beings in all of our humanness, and keeps us grounded and focused on the plight of those who are today lying half dead by the side of the road. So that's been a rich reflection for all of us who work in this ministry of charity in the country.
Can you give us a few facts and numbers about Catholic Charities of America?
Sure. We, across the United States, Catholic Charities has about 58,000 employees, with another close to 300,000 people who volunteer. And every year we serve somewhere over 10 million people who come to our doors in need of some kind of help. And we do that without any preference about their religious orientation, where they come from. If they come to us, if a person comes to us and needs food or needs clothing or needs to have help getting a job or whatever, we do our very best to help them. And so we do not simply serve the Catholic population. We serve everybody who comes to us in need. And we do that because that's really what the Scripture and what the Gospel calls us to, is to take care of our brothers and sisters in need. So that's a little bit about this. We do about close to $4 billion in services annually. Those dollars come through donations. They come through some federal and state grants. But all of that is really directed toward taking care of people who are really in bad straits.
In 2005, Forbes magazine ranked Catholic Charities USA the fifth largest charity in America. If you want to learn more, www.catholiccharitiesusa.org. When we come back, we're going to ask Sister about some of the priorities of Catholic Charities. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Sister Donna Markham, President and CEO, Catholic Charities USA. Sister, let's talk about some priorities. Let's start with affordable housing, please.
Oh, sure. We identified those priorities, our members did, across the country, and the thing that surprised me was the one issue that surfaced almost universally across the United States was this issue of affordable housing. And so I was surprised by that. It was the strongest priority identified. But what we're trying to do right now is we are doing some very creative work in establishing partnerships with some of the Catholic health providers. Catholic Health and Catholic Charities share a national footprint, and we think that in collaboration with one another, we can do a lot to try to help establish more units of affordable housing. Catholic Charities currently operates about 32,000 units of affordable housing. We would like to really develop that further, and we're working closely in some pretty creative projects with some of our Catholic health partners to do that. We're specifically taking a look at the hard-to-house, the people who are chronically homeless, and trying to make a priority about addressing those needs and getting those folks housed and off of the streets in their own facility with wraparound services to assist them in being successful in being housed and ultimately, hopefully, gaining some employment.
Another priority, immigration and refugee services, please.
Yes. Well, Catholic Charities, from its inception over 100 years ago, has been involved in helping immigrants and refugees be resettled in the United States. And so it's really part of our historical mission and ministry. So today, of course, we are very actively involved in trying to assist people who are in the process of trying to get their papers in order, help them get legal assistance, and provide them with basic necessities of life. So I've been to the border recently a couple of times and seen firsthand what some of our agencies are doing at the border to try to provide basic needs for people that are absolutely desperate. one story I'll tell you that I think is quite telling. When we were down at the border, there were two brothers that had shown up at our Catholic Charities agency. And one was in a wheelchair, and the brothers were in their 20s, and they had been caught in a crossfire of gang violence in Honduras. And the older brother was shot in crossfire and became paralyzed. And the younger brother wheeled his brother 2,000 miles in a wheelchair from Honduras to Nogales, Mexico, and then over into the United States and asked for asylum. So that story kind of tore us to pieces when we saw what this one brother did for his brother to try to protect his life. The picture of the wheelchair is quite a meditation in and of itself. But the fact that they were met by Catholic Charities, that they received shelter, they received an opportunity for a bath and some food and some assistance, and they are now pending their hearing for asylum. But that's the kind of work that we do.
We're talking to Sister Donna Markham, Catholic Charities, 58,000 employees, 287,000 volunteers, 10 million people served, 167 Catholic charity agencies. Sister, another priority, integrated health and nutrition. Please.
Yes, we're really, one of the other crises that we're dealing with has to do with the behavioral health crisis. And we know that people who are mentally ill often do not have adequate, have not taken adequate care of their physical needs. They often have not received adequate nutrition. And so we're trying to work again with our partners in healthcare to address the needs of the holistic needs of people, again, who are really suffering with both physical, mental crises, and looking at the intersection between those, and then trying to assist with the nutritional needs so that we can make some dent in the criticality of their conditions.
Another one, leadership development and Catholic identity.
Yes, our members from across the country identified that as a real need because they want to make sure that the future of Catholic Charities is well positioned to have excellent leadership, and that the leadership understands the Catholic social teaching in a way that is realized in the everyday work of charity. So we run some training programs. We have some collaborative initiatives with some universities, and we're beginning some collaboration with Catholic Theological Union, CTU, in Chicago to help with this training and preparation for the future.
Another priority, social enterprise initiatives. Please.
Yes, you know, the history of Catholic Charities, many people would think of that and say, well, these are soup kitchens or they're food pantries or clothing distribution centers. Well, the work of Catholic Charities really is not only about the hand out, but about the hand up. So we are working with our agencies and developing projects that will employ the previously unemployed or hard to employ and help them really improve their whole sense of personal human dignity. So job development, preparation for the workforce, all of that is a very big part of Catholic Charities today.
Advocacy and social policy initiatives.
Yes, we work. We here at the National Office are very engaged in meeting with our legislators on both sides of the aisle to talk about the kinds of things that need to happen so that those who are most vulnerable are not going to be harmed by our policies. We stay out of the political dialogue per se, and really talk about what we're called to be as human beings, what we're called to be as a community or of faith, and how we can best assist those who are most vulnerable. So that is a big part of our work, as being a voice for the voiceless on the Hill, and knowing that our Catholic Charities directors in their local areas are very active in their state and local governments as well to do the same thing.
We're talking to Sister Donna Markham. If you want to learn more, www.catholiccharitiesusa.org. Sister, in 2017, we had three huge hurricanes, Harvey in Texas, Irma in Florida, Maria in Puerto Rico. Your last priority is disaster services. Talk about that.
Yes. The hurricanes really kind of called us to another level of disaster response and preparedness. And through the generosity of the American people, we put a website message on our Catholic Charities USA website to ask for donations so we could get emergency supplies to people who had been so affected. And being a humanitarian disaster of such enormous proportions, I believed that there was no way that we should be taking any dime of that, those donations, for administrative overhead. So we promised our donors that we would deliver every cent to the areas affected, and have the Catholic Charities agencies be ready to supply people with water and food and shelter. I have to say that the generosity of people was a real overwhelming and quite powerful meditation for me. That our website actually crashed because of the volume. And we, through our web, were able to raise close to $21 million in 8 weeks. And that money was immediately hand-delivered via checks by me flying down there to the affected areas and delivering these donations to Catholic Charities in those areas. So that says a lot about who we are as Americans, who we are in our very best self when we find one another in need. And that work continues today as we are dealing with fires and volcanoes and everything else. We're working very hard to help our agencies be prepared for when a disaster hits them, that they know what to do and how to mobilize.
We're talking to Sister Donna Markham, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Sister Donna Markham, who leads Catholic Charities, which was founded in 1910, consists of 167 agencies serving over 10 million people nationwide, the fifth largest charity in America. Sister, you've led this organization for 3 years. What's the biggest thing you've learned in those 3 years?
I think I would have to say that the most powerful learning has been to see what can happen when you have a community of what I would call collective goodness in the persons of all those who are part of this organization. When we come together and put our heads and our bodies and our hearts and our souls to work on behalf of the poor, that just about anything can happen. I feel very blessed to be associated with people of such profound dedication and faith.
Following up on when we come together.
Yes.
The political climate today is tough.
Yes,
many Americans have become acclimated to a national resentment over migrants.
Yes.
What would you say to those people tonight, sister?
What I would say is, first of all, most of us came from migrant families, and came our ancestors came across the ocean from some place or another and met with all kinds of difficulty and rejection. And not to forget our roots. The second thing I would say is, someday have the opportunity to sit and talk with someone who's fled for their lives. That experience is transformative. And realizing that that most of the people that we see coming here are people who are fleeing war, they're fleeing violence, they're fleeing gangs, and they are afraid for their lives. And when we sit face to face and encounter them, hear their story, I think that that changes our attitude. So I would encourage people to, like the Good Samaritan, to walk across the side of the road and tend to those who are sometimes the most despised among us.
We're talking to Sister Donna Markham, who's also a huge Chicago Cubs fan. That's icing on the cake. Sister, what's the single biggest challenge you have today?
The biggest challenge, I think, is exactly what you have. Yes, the Cubs could do it after 108 years. You know, I think the biggest challenge that I have and that we have together is exactly what you just adverted to, which is basically that we need to bridge. Bridge our gaps, transcend walls, and start meeting one another across ideological divides, and come to treat one another as fellow human beings with dignity and respect. And that's what I think, that goes beyond politics, it goes beyond religions. It goes to the very core of our humanity, and we have seen glimpses of that happening, I think, in times of great suffering. So I think that is a challenge for us.
There's another terrific Chicagoan, Father John Foley, a Jesuit, who founded the Cristo Rey Network,
yes,
which is unbelievable. And he told me, and I quote him, "I've learned much more from the poor than I ever did from the rich."
Yes.
Why, sister?
Well, I think when we walk, when we walk with someone who is suffering, who is poor, who is in desperate straits, it calls something forth from us. It reaches into our heart. I think it opens up reservoirs of compassion that we can easily seal over. I think when we enter into that space, and we do so with an open heart and mind, we can't help but be changed. And that change sometimes is uncomfortable. But it is the poor, it is the suffering, it is those who have struggled through much of their lives that we find ourselves being transformed and being softened and finding compassion that maybe we didn't realize we really had.
A listener tonight who is really suffering. Sister, what do you say to that person?
I would say a couple of things to that. And there are many, many, many people tonight who are suffering. I think as people of faith, to remember that when all is said and done, however awful the situation is, to remember that there is more life than death. There is more hope than despair in any situation. And to realize that sometimes we can't find that ourselves, that we need to reach out to someone else who maybe can help us and accompany us in those very dark times. Don't sit by yourself. Reach out. Talk to someone and know that God is going to be present through the hearts and hands of that person and will intervene and prove that there's more life than death. in your life or in the lives of anyone that we know who's really suffering tonight.
If there's a person or a couple listening tonight that says, Sister, we've been thinking about getting involved, giving back, what should we do?
Well, I would really encourage, I mean, one easy thing is to pick up the phone and call the Catholic Charities in your city and ask if you can do something to help, if you can volunteer, if you want to help us in whatever way you feel able to do. That's one thing. Another thing is to really say that you pray for the people, that you promise to pray for the people who are lying by the side of the road that are forgotten. And to hold them in prayer and ask for God's mercy and care for them. So I think there are many ways. There are lots of charitable organizations that do very, very fine work across the country. And I would bet that there's some place close to wherever people are living that you could help out.
You've been the first to do this and this and this and this. Do you ever pinch yourself and ask God, why me?
Oh, I do that all the time, Jack.
What does he say?
I'm not so sure. Quit asking such stupid questions. I don't know.
So, as our time winds down together this evening, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Certainly. Oh, compassionate God, stirred by your Holy Spirit, companioned by your love, we ask you to help us see ever more clearly where your people suffer. Help us to set out in courage, in love, and in a hurry along courageous paths that will lead to greater life for all of your children. Open our eyes to see where your word needs to be made real. We ask this through you. Amen.
And I would add, continue to guide Sister and her team. Sister, you are a phenomenal example of letting go and letting God use you. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasulo. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.
Believe in yourself.